City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show 179. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Snowed in.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
It's shy. There's snow.
It was like...
Oh my God, I was sweating.
50 degrees and no snow on the ground just days ago. And now it's a winter wonderland again and really, really fucking cold.
I was sweating. It's amazing how this flip-flop days. It's not good for my sinuses, but guess what?
Yep.
I was told I had to neti. I have to use the neti.
The neti pot.
I was told I have to use it.
Oh, do you enjoy it? The neti
it's
pot
still,
experience? Are you still
going to
eat? Do you feel like you're choking? Do you feel like you're drowning?
No,
because that's what most people who don't like it go. It makes me feel like I'm drowning.
I mean, I can really give good head, so it's okay with that. The valves back there, I know how to work them pretty good.
Right, but that's a different feeling than water going up into like your breath cavity.
But it means I think their choking thing comes from when it leaks out and it goes to the back.
Oh, really? Because it doesn't make me choke, so I don't know what they're talking about.
No, it doesn't do it to
me. I just know what that feeling of like,
but I can
you can't inhale.
I can do the stage two already. That's what I've been instructed to do. Do you know the stage two where you suck in, as it's dripping out your nose, you in through your nose and then you spit it out your mouth?
Oh, no, I don't do that. I don't want that stuff in my mouth.
Well, but it's not that it goes that way. It's that it cleans the backside of where the problem area is. So stage one is just tilt and drain.
Do you have an infection?
No, I've just been having some sinus problems. So yep. I've been instructed to do this and to begin it.
Do you use the saline packets? Is that what you're using?
No, I just use sea salt. I have a bottle of sea salt, and I have a big stainless neti pot. It's about half a liter.
Oh, good
and
God.
And you do that way. You just do one side and then the other. You half
with
and
the
half.
Same pot. Yeah, right, I have a porcelain pot, and then I also have a little plastic one that I can throw in and travel with.
Yeah, the plastic one I'll eventually need to get, but she suggested it, and then she said, you know, I'll tell you about the stage two. You don't have to try it, but I tried it and it wasn't so bad. But actually, that's really it's tricky because you have to suck in through your nostril while the water's
gargling.
Draining out. So yeah, basically you gargle your sinus and then it's all
I love it. I find it so satisfying
to
do the neti.
First one was terrifying, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I like it in the morning better than in the night though.
Oh, they say it's actually better for you to do it in the morning. If you do it at night, you shouldn't do it right before you lay down because then some of that moisture gets settled up there. So you should probably do it like after dinner or when you're in the house for the day if you're trying to deal with like anything you would have captured
I'm
in your work day and
at
work.
Night, though.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like it might help you to do it. And you know, you can always add a little extra salt if in the nighttime it will dry you out a little more and clear it out.
It's just bizarro. And then,
but it takes like, they say, I don't know how long have you been doing it now?
Oh, it's only been 2 days.
Oh, okay. So. Like after about a week or two weeks, you'll really feel a difference. Mm-hmm. You really, really, really will.
Yeah, that was, she said, let's do it once a day, maybe twice if you got a blockage. Twice in a row, twice a day, twice if you got a blockage. But it's just weird to me because it's this last fast that brought it out. It's that my nose used to be too sensitive because I've had this thing for
your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I've had the neti pot for a long time. I just haven't been using it because my nose was too sensitive. No amount of saline, it's too sensitive. And this last time around, she was like, okay, do it, do it, do it. You have to do it. And I did it and was like, oh, wow, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you start healing all of that. You start healing all that membrane in there. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, just, it's just flushing it out. Mm-hmm. It just allows nothing to kind of live up there. It's so great. If you don't know what we're talking about, you just need to like Google yourself the neti pot.
Wash out your sinuses.
It's fantastic.
We should own that domain, washoutyoursinuses.com.
Okay, let's go. Let's buy it.
And there's yoga thing poses that I have to do afterwards to make sure I get all the water out. Look at your nose.
It's very yogic principled. Yeah. I mean, many people, obviously neti pots have been around for gazillions of
numbers
years.
Of years.
Yeah. So it's very true. Absolutely. Hey, you know, we're going to have on our show today, Richard Knight Jr. He's going to be taking us out at the movies. Mm-hmm. He's one of the movie queens, and we're going to talk about the Oscars, the pending Oscars, and also a look back a tiny bit at the SAGs, the Golden Globes, what, who didn't win, who he thinks was deserving, who, you know, his predictions for the Oscars, and also a bunch of movies and people that performances that he wants to make sure you saw that mm-hmm. aren't getting the attention of the Oscars. Mm-hmm. They were not nominated. So, it's gonna be a really fun show. I just make notes with Richard when he starts telling me movies. Seriously. I'm like, oh, I want to see that. I want to see right. that. And right now with this strike going on, definitely they're in talks, but with the strike going on, it's a great time to
sure is.
Start renting some movies, doing the mm-hmm. on-demand, going into your queue, getting, going and renting full shows that you don't think you've watched because mm-hmm. you probably will catch up now that,
yeah,
you know, a lot
time.
Of these shows are not going to be able to restart if this goes on for much longer. But one of the things you and I have not talked about is Heath Ledger and, yep. And I know.
And I think we have very different opinions about this.
Yeah,
story.
you and I were talking about it just right before we started recording, and I was saying, you know, we should talk about Heath because we haven't talked about Heath, and you're like, I'm tired of talking about Heath. Right. It's an insignificant event, and I just find it so profoundly significant, and so I'm just curious as to why you think it's insignificant.
Well, I don't think it's insignificant that the man died. I think that's tragic, and I think that when anyone in Hollywood dies, I think it's a tragedy, and it has a blip in the night. But I don't feel like all the press that it's been getting, it just seems like everyone is making him some kind of gay hero. And I just don't feel that way about him. I feel that the writer of the story and the director of the film really are the gay heroes. I feel that the actors were the vehicles to do this. And of course, they chose to do this role and they chose to portray them in whatever way that they did. And they had a part in it. But I don't know.
But I don't think like any directors or any actors, nobody's ever held anything. I mean, any directors or writers have ever, you know, anybody who wrote Dog Day Afternoon and, or directed or any of the old movies that we can think of.
Torch Song
or any of that, you know, well, that was Harvey, but because he was in it and he wrote it. But you know, it's, I don't think that their careers, it was even a big deal that they wrote a gay play, but playing these parts as, playing as an actor these gay roles, I do still think is pivotal. And I think that I can remember when they announced that Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal were going to play these gay cowboys before the film came out. Let's say 2 years before anybody had seen it or 3 years before anybody had seen it. And also when you look at Heath Ledger and you look at his career, I do disagree that I think he will go down as a James Dean type. I think for taking risky roles, for turning down, you know, he was offered Spider-Man. He turned mm-hmm. it down. He turned down these blockbuster type movies to take small, gritty, edgy roles that really seemed to stretch him and was really far more interested in the work. I mean, I even think the reason for him doing this Batman movie, which was his last film completed, that it wasn't really about being a Batman movie. It was the opportunity to play something that he thought was so dangerous and mm-hmm. you know, undefinable in kind of a maniacal, like pure, you know, pure evil and sure. maniacal. And it would be a challenge to like his resume of not wanting to play these blonde pretty boys or romantic leads was just right. not his interest.
Well, and that's him being a good actor and being,
but that's rare today.
And being, well, I mean, yes and no. I think there's people out there.
Name me anyone under the age of 30 who you think is that risky, who has that much bankability.
Clive Owen.
But he's not that young. And he doesn't,
he's what, 37 now? 36?
Yeah, but that's 10 years later. I'm talking about a guy in his 25 making these choices, which was the age he was when he was making these choices.
But I think we're talking about two different things. I think him being a celebrated actor, that's one thing. Him being a gay hero, that's a whole other thing.
Well, and I don't know who's saying he's a gay hero.
I see a lot of people, well, because I see a lot of
both sides.
I think
they're pointing out his bravery in playing that role and actually his authenticity of playing that role.
But that's him being a good actor, and it's just the gay spin that's been taken on this whole thing. And of course, there are people who are sort of canonizing him for his role, and there are people who are really, really bastardizing him and really talking down on him. And we're not going to name names on that front. But I think it's that controversy about what was going on.
We have yet had a leading male in Hollywood come out.
This is
true. Hollywood leading male come out. And if the best we have is a 25-year-old who's a genius actor, I think, you know, brave enough to really authentically go deep into this role. I mean, I it's so weird because I had just watched Brokeback Mountain again the week before. I had just watched it and that movie just breaks me. I think I remember you and I being on Windy City Radio and you being really happy that Crash won. And I loved Crash, but mm-hmm. I was really quite devastated that Brokeback didn't win mm-hmm. on many levels, because I just thought it was such a movie without any gimmicks that was so beautiful and so powerful. And I thought the performances were so good. The writing was so good. It will now have quite a legacy, this film.
Oh,
and I also read somebody saying this, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was on some website where somebody, it was a gay person, so you making this to be this gay thing, this is where I can see it, said, you know, we lost Jack. You know, Jack, the character of Jack, mm-hmm. Died on that show, and it feels a little bit now Ennis did too. And that this is what happens, that, you know, the gay man dies. I mean, this is just what happens. Not that Heath Ledger is, but somehow in his death that we lose right. both of these these characters
right.
Kind of into the history books of, and not that even at the end of that film, he wasn't a tragic character, a tragic figure in such mm-hmm. sadness and, mm-hmm. And deep loss for his inability to kind of authentically feel like he had a choice of being who he was. Mm-hmm. But I just think on a larger level, you know, at a time when we don't even realize a lot of the big things that are going on in the world, that we take a moment to pause for this. It was just so out of right field when we had just been talking, I think you and I, because of Brad Renfro.
Right.
And we were talking about how people are writing the, you know, obituaries for Britney Spears, ready to mm-hmm. have them ready to go. And then somebody like him dies, and, you know, and you're just like, that's not logical. Like that just goes against where this is headed, mm-hmm. you know, this young Hollywood. Like, he didn't seem to fit that model of young Hollywood. I don't know. And obviously it's getting a lot of attention because it's glamorous and it's...
Well, it is. And people, the unfortunate part, I think, in the situation, that people are blurring the lines between him and his character. And that's really, really where I have the...
What do you mean, him and his character? Because most people really liked him. You never heard people saying ill about him, whether or not now things are coming out that he was troubled or he was taking...
Well, this is... I mean, this is...
That
this
he was
is
drinking or he was taking
that
cocaine.
People are demonizing. I mean, it was just within the first few hours, all you heard were about the pharmaceuticals around the bed and then grisly details about how he passed. And it just... It kept getting worse and worse and worse.
But
and
that's like, I think people trying to make sense of the unsensitive. Which is like what I think this will become.
I think that's people vying for numbers and trying to get their publications heard and said.
Sure,
and
I'm sure it's that too. But I mean, I think why was I watching so much of it? Why was I trying to see? Are they going to find what happened? Are they going to see what you know? What was the cause of this death? Like, that seems so senseless, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make sense of it. I think that is one of the things that has compelled people.
An out and proud person, as you are, and right. as I am, we see the world through different eyes. What worries me is the people who aren't out or who aren't gay, who are looking at this like, oh yeah, another fag died. And that's all they're seeing. And that's all they're...
I don't think anybody said Heath Ledger was gay, though.
But they don't have to say it. It's just there. It's the subtext in what's going on. And it's not...
I haven't really felt that at all. I haven't felt at all that he was gay or that, you know... I think it's more of like, we didn't really know him and he was a troubled Hollywood person that somehow we didn't know he was a troubled Hollywood person. I think it's more that than he was gay.
He's troubled. He played a gay character. Follow suit. That's the secular view, blah, blah, blah. There it goes. And it's just, there's all these, I mean, anytime anyone dies in the media these days, especially someone with his level of visibility, because he was a pretty visible guy because of the role and because of, you know, the film and everything that went like
well,
that.
And he had a lot of stuff coming up.
Correct.
You know?
And he was damn good at what he did. He was a damn good actor. So it's leaving me with a bad taste in my mouth. And I hope that I hope it goes away very soon, because it doesn't sound like it's going to go away soon. So I just hope it does, because leave his family to mourn in peace. And of course the public has to mourn. No doubt about that. They have to get over whatever loss they feel, but it's going on a little too long now. I've just become really uncomfortable with the situation. So
yeah.
I want to see it just sort of, he can fade away. And during the Oscars, no doubt there's going to be some whiz bang thing about him that they're going to do as they always do with all
the
departed.
Well, they did the in memoriam,
right.
You know?
They always do that. And I hope he's not the last one. You know what I mean?
Oh, but he will be. He was at the SAGs. I'm sure he'll be the last one. He was the last one at the SAGs. And then Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, basically saying that he, what's the word? dedicates his SAG award to him, you know. And I thought what was so beautiful about what Daniel Day-Lewis said, though, is that as actors, you know, the appreciation of being inspired by other actors, that you can talk to somebody in your own craft or recognize something in someone in your mm-hmm. own craft that you can't recognize, that people not in your craft probably don't recognize.
And see it through the same eyes. That's,
and
he
see
was
it
talking
through
about
the
perspective.
Same eyes. Yeah. And I just think that, I think there was something so powerful about him as an actor and as an individual on the screen and in the performances and in his choices, that I think that's truly what has rocked the artists who I think are very moved by this in Hollywood and stuff, and who have worked with him and all of that.
It threatens people's mortality in general when anybody dies or when anybody they know about dies. So I just feel like people are backing in the wrong corners when talking about it. It feels bad, and I want to shake that feeling, and I don't want to feel this way, but I do. Something's off about it. So I hope that we can move on, and there's, you know, Ellen's 50. Yay!
Let's
find some silver lining where we can.
All right. Well, we are going to find lots of silver linings in
silver
the
screens.
Awards season with our movie queen, Richard Knight Jr. He's been with us. We've got more news and much more after this.
Rent is more than just something you pay.
Rent is more than just something that comes every month. More than something that you work for that's hanging over your head.
Rent is more than that.
Rent is joy.
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 Rent is feeling.
Rent is feeling.
Rent is 15 people
singing their hearts out, winning
your heart
with
their talent and grit and stories of love and survival.
Rent is more than a way to get by.
Rent is a way of life, a theatrical experience that will open your eyes, your ears,
your
heart.
Rent is more than a check in the mail.
Rent is a gut check.
A phenomenon. A show that won
every award and transformed how a generation feels about musicals,
about art and life and love.
Love.
A show that changed Broadway forever.
A show that inspired a major motion picture.
And now
it's coming to
you. Rent is more than a word.
Rent is the word.
Sing it out loud.
See Rent.
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 Rent. Live.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater February 12th through 17th. Now featuring South African Idol winner Heinz Winkler and American Idol finalist Anwar Robinson. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 28th, 2008, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Now playing Hephaestus, a Greek mythology circus tale, returns to Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. The Wall Street Journal calls it explosive, dazzling, dangerous. For tickets to Hephaestus, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents the Tony Award-nominated play The Little Dog Laughed. The Tribune calls this production hip, sharp, and funny. And the Sun-Times says it's 2007's hottest gay play. Can a hot Hollywood actor keep his sexuality under wraps? The Little Dog Laughed is now playing through February 17th at the Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted. Visit aboutfacetheater.com for more.
Court Theater Artistic Director Charles Newell adapts and directs Titus Andronicus, Shakespeare's riveting tale of jealousy and revenge. Relish this new adaptation that the Sun-Times calls brilliant and ingenious, and the Tribune agrees, saying this Titus is gutsy, provocative, risky. Titus plays through February 10th. For tickets, call 773-753-4472 or visit courttheater.org.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. Unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves, eerie as ever, Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to The Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
Taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Milford Cobra.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Gay marriage supporters are ramping up efforts to push for gay marriage in Maryland again. This rallying began again when the Religious Freedom and Civil Marriage Protection Act was recently introduced in both houses of the state's legislature. The legislation, which has 50 sponsors, allows churches to refuse to perform same-sex marriages. In September, a Maryland high court in a 4-3 decision upheld the state's same-sex marriage ban.
The Family Council Action Committee has launched a campaign to restrict the number of foster and adoptive parents available to Arkansas children in need. The ballot initiative, if approved, would limit prospective foster and adoptive parents only to married heterosexual couples, which comprise only 50% of all households in the state. Arkansas Families First, a statewide coalition of family and child welfare advocates, religious and community leaders, have formed to combat this initiative and stand up for what is in the best interest of all of the children.
National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Matt Foreman is resigning. Foreman announced he will step down in April. He will head a GLBT program for a San Francisco private family foundation, the Evelyn and Walter Haas Jr. Fund. Foreman was the head of NGLTF for the past 5 years.
The European Court of Human Rights has won the praise of Human Rights Watch for its ruling in a gay adoption case. The court ruled in favor of a lesbian couple, saying France's decision to deny the couple adoption rights was discriminatory and violated European family rights and discrimination laws.
The Oscar nods came out, and filmmaker Cynthia Wade was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Subject for Freeheld. Freeheld is a story about a New Jersey police lieutenant, Laurel Hester, who is dying of cancer. Over the course of Laurel's last year, she battled with Freeholders Town Council members of Ocean County, New Jersey, who had the power to grant Hester the right to leave her partner, Stacey Andre, her pension, but refused to do so.
Images of several California high school water polo athletes have surfaced on a number of gay porn websites. Pictures of the young athletes lounging around outdoors during a water polo meet have appeared on a London-based site alongside pornographic images, not of the students, and have spread to other sites. Students and parents are angry that the photos have been taken out of context and used on porn sites.
And bravo, bravo. It turns out there are 3 lesbian contestants on Top Chef 4 this year. Jennifer, Lisa, and Zoe are all gay. Top Chef premieres on Bravo. Don't miss it, March 12th. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Is it always right to pursue?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
Well, it is Oscar time, and what's bigger and gayer than the Oscars for us in the GLBT community, besides Peter, and of course our critic, Richard Knight Jr.
The original movie queen.
The original movie queen. And
so
Richard is here for the first time with us to talk with us this year about the Oscars and maybe look back at the SAGs and the Globes and just see how it's all going to shake down this season. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited. We're coming up on the gay man's national holiday.
It is.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I think a very exciting year this year for just story and actors having really meaty characters with which to play.
A great year for stories. Yes, a great year for men. Not the greatest year for the women.
Yeah.
And not a great year for gays and lesbians at the movie, but, you know.
It's
what else
true.
Is new?
But we always have the red carpet, don't we?
Well, we hope so this year. We really hope so. Ooh, yeah. We don't know.
But let's talk a little bit about, looking at who we think are some of the hot competition areas. What are the big contests and the big categories for this year's Oscars? And how do they compare with what you think you've already seen with the Golden Globes and the SAGs?
Well, there were certainly some surprises. I was very, I'm going right against the grain immediately.
That's okay. That's why we like you.
That the No Country for Old Men is a little overhyped.
Yeah.
I don't think it's deserving. It's a good film. I don't think it's the greatest film.
What do you think is the greatest film of the year?
Michael Clayton. And I was very happy to see it get all those Oscar nominations, because usually a film that's released earlier in the year doesn't.
Right, right.
So I was very happy about that. I would be very happy if it won Best Picture.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot. I think Juno is overhyped. I'm sorry.
Well, it's interesting that you're saying No Country for Old Men. You're the first person I've heard say that. I have heard some people say Juno, yep. And I've definitely heard people say Atonement got all this early buzz and was overhyped. So where are those movies that were actually had the goods? I mean, you mentioned Michael Clayton. Were there some movies that were missed in the category, you think, at all these awards?
I think definitely The Hoax. The Richard Gere picture deserved a lot more attention than it got. It's a really, really well-written, well-acted film. I think Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, the Sidney Lumet picture, with Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's had a terrific year. Todd Haynes' I'm Not There, I think because it was a much more difficult picture, not a film that, you know, these Academy members are a little bit older, so sometimes these kind of artistic films, they don't sort of gravitate toward. I would have liked to have seen him get a nomination for screenplay, certainly for director. It was a great film.
So really it's all the eggs in the basket are for Cate Blanchett in the supporting role, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And Zodiac is another picture that had a lot of critics loved it. Early buzz, great film. Into the Wild is another one that I could have seen. Maybe Sean Penn did a great job with the screenplay.
Yeah. I love that movie. I watched it. I found it so very moving.
Hmm. I was thrilled that Hal Holbrook was recognized with the nomination. I would like to have seen Adrian Shelley, you know, the director, writer who was murdered for Waitress.
Oh, right. No.
A really, really sweet, sweet film. You know, Academy doesn't like to give awards to, you know, comedies or you know, those kind of gentle pictures.
Do you think Diablo Cody kind of got some of the buzz that she lost because of her death so early in the year? I mean, it was Sundance a year ago when the cast was just dealing with her death. Had it been released a little later, would it have been the Juno? You know, based on the tragedy and based on some of the hype, you know, the emotional hype they can put around a film.
Yes, timing makes a huge, huge difference. That definitely hurt that film. That hurt Things We Lost in the Fire. Benicio del Toro, if I'm saying it correctly. Mm-hmm. Benicio. He was amazing in that film, but it's a year where the men, there's so many strong male performances. But I really liked Halle Berry in that film. I don't think Ellen Page deserved the nomination, but that's me. I think she's playing a form of herself, but...
You know what? My partner and I were sitting watching the SAGs last week, and we saw that we were watching her, and we had it on TiVo, and I said, who does she remind you of? And Kelly said a couple of people, and I said, no. And then all of a sudden they went, a little Janine Garofalo. Oh. Like, that is who she... And Kelly and I both had the huge, like, that's who it is!
That's it.
Oh, yeah. You know? And so, yeah. I haven't seen Juno, so I can't speak to it. We'll see it by Oscar night.
Yeah,
so.
It's very interesting that that's sort of the lighter fare in a really heavy, heavy year of Oscars.
At least the Little Miss Sunshine,
it
right?
It seems very dark.
Yeah.
In general.
It is a very, very dark film. And I'm sorry. I guess I just have a lot... I'm not so crazy about the actress.
Yeah. What about Hairspray for you? Did you feel like Hairspray kind of delivered on what it needed to do for the movie musical this year? Because there are more movie musicals in line. I mean, we obviously have Sweeney Todd, too. So I guess let's say both of those. Sweeney Todd having some nominations and Hairspray with Golden Globes and SAG nominations and wins. What do you think about those two as movie musicals?
I think that I'd like to have seen the best song category spread out over some more films. Yes, Hairspray actually delivered. It brought back the movie musical that I grew up with. Sweeney Todd was the perfect vehicle for Tim Burton. I don't think he got a nomination, but he should have. And the cinematography definitely deserved a nomination.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was not nominated for other categories?
It got like a costume nomination, but it's not up for cinematography, and it really should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that Johnny Depp got a nomination. He deserves it.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of these actor categories. Let's look at the women, since you think that's a lighter category. Is it Julie Christie's year, as we saw at the Globes, or is Marion Cotillard going to take it away from her?
Oh, I think the nomination is all Mariano's going to get. Is that if that's how you say it? I don't know. This is a real toss-up because there's so much hype about this Ellen Page. She could walk away with it. Julie Christie already has an Oscar. Of course, it was 30-some years ago. I thought it was a charming. It was a good performance. I don't know that it's an Oscar performance. Again, it wasn't such a strong year for women. I am sort of sad that Angelina Jolie didn't get a nomination for A Mighty Heart.
Yeah. Now, did you see La Vie en Rose?
Oh, yeah, and she's wonderful in it.
Yeah, I think she is absolutely. I mean, Kelly and I both think she should win, but Kelly has a bet with somebody. But I was my concern was that she won't win, but when she won the Globe, I thought, well, maybe she will, you know,
well,
because the...
She could be a dark horse. I think that's a category that's very, very hard to predict this year.
Huh.
Just because there's no... And, you know, Kate Blanchett, I thought she did great work in Elizabeth. A lot of people thought, you know, that she was just way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, the Golden Age... I actually personally thought she did a great job and deserves a nomination.
Yeah, I think she was very reminiscent of who's that BBC actress who I always forget who played the original Elizabeth on the BBC series. I'll never remember her name, but it's just interesting to me that she was nominated for both actress in a leading and in a support.
Well, that's only happened
actress.
A few times. Julianne Moore just a couple of years ago
right.
that happened.
Jessica Lange the year for Frances and Tootsie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Do you see Kate winning in the supporting role because of those two performances this year, or who? Who do you see taking her out in that category?
I think that Ruby Dee could be the sentimental because uh-huh. it's her first nomination. She's 83 years old. It's the body of the work. A lot of times, Alan Arkin won last year for Little Miss Sunshine for the body of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a good performance. Cate Blanchett has also won an Oscar before playing right. Catherine Hepburn in The Aviator. So
yeah. Do you?
I love the Tilda, though, I have to say. The Tilda Swinton.
Tilda. Ooh.
And
Michael Clayton, yeah.
She's just goofballs, but I love her. I love that
Lethal
she's
Lady.
So...
Lethal Lady. Scary,
yeah.
Scary.
Yes, very. Femme fatale.
So let's look at the guys. Let's start off with the supporting category. Javier Bardem, obviously maybe a favorite in this category, but obviously Hal Holbrook, a sentimental favorite, and I really thought he was just extraordinary. Having not seen all these roles, but what do you think about this category? It's kind of far and wide, this category.
Well, it's a tough one. Again, I agree with you. I would love to see Hal Holbrook take the award. I would have preferred that Philip Seymour Hoffman had gotten his nomination for The Savages or for Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which are two performances I think actually are better than the one he gave in Charlie Wilson's War, which is also a very good. You know, he gave the best performance in the film.
Yeah.
Javier, he's just so good.
Yeah, this is what I hear. I have not seen this movie. I think I'm going to watch it in the next couple of days now that we're talking about this. I'm going to have to see it.
She's cute.
I'm going to go with Hal Holbrook on that one.
Yeah, I am too. I have to tell you, I hung out with him one whole day at my college graduation when I was a junior in college. Dixie was getting an honorary doctorate because she was... an alum. And I was his personal person, him and Dixie's mama.
His handler.
I was his handler. And I spent literally 5 hours with the man.
Wow.
And he is just a beautiful, beautiful soul. I mean, he was just delightful. It was a day I will never forget.
Wow.
So having him be there is like amazing. I really just, it was such a beautiful performance. It moved me so deeply.
Well, and you, because you're an actor, so you know to take a role like that, he filled in so many details in those small little scenes.
Well, and just the life of his career as an actor, too, to honor that. It's maybe not all in film, but his the massive amount of stage work the man's done, and just brilliant.
Well,
that's my choice.
Yeah.
I mean, as you said with Ruby Dee, though, do you think that's a trend that people are starting to win, not just necessarily for the individual roles, but more for their body of work?
Oh, no, that's gone. Helen Hayes won for Airport in 1970.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's been going on for forever.
It's been going on for decades. Oh, yeah.
We're sorry we didn't give it to you last year, Russell Crowe, for The Insider, where you were so freaking good. So now we're going to give it to you for Gladiator.
Really?
Like, how crazy was that? Or not giving it to Denzel for this role, but giving it to him for that role.
Or so, Paul Newman for Color of Money instead of The Verdict, but I could go on for days.
Yeah, we could go on for days. So let's look at the big categories.
category as you see it, really duking it out, the five men for actor in a leading role. Who?
Well, it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
You think?
Oh, yeah. It really is one of the greatest performances ever captured on film.
Wow. That's, wow.
Those are big words coming from you, sir.
I have to say, he makes me have ungay thoughts.
Really?
He does. And you know what? And the person who really I knew before I even saw this category, there are a lot of guys that make you have ungay thoughts if you're a lesbian in this category, because Johnny Depp makes a lot of lesbians have ungay thoughts.
Well,
Daniel Day-Lewis,
too, I must tell you.
Yeah, and Clooney as well, I think, makes many people have ungay thoughts. But, you know, Viggo is my man. Like, Viggo's been the man for a long time that I've said, you know, I would change for him. And I saw him in that Eastern Promises, and wow, he is absolutely trans. He just transcends.
Is this his first nomination?
He was my actor of the year for that performance.
Oh,
and then I saw, of course, Daniel Day-Lewis. And
okay.
Then also, I'm so upset that John Cusack in Grace Is Gone wasn't recognized, because talk
oh,
about
really?
Easy work. Yeah,
oh, wow. I haven't heard many great things about that film.
I know, but I loved it. I loved it. I can't
well,
see enough
if about you have
it.
Not seen Viggo, Gay Men Everywhere, you should watch it, because he's fully naked doing the most kick-ass fight you've ever seen in your entire life, tattooed out the win-wang.
What a great sequence.
Oh, it's fantastic to watch, though. But he is just brilliant in that movie, too. And then Tommy Lee, kind of the only of the Iraq films at all that have had any notoriety on this kind of board in a year that had so many movies about the war.
Mm. I'm really great. Glad that the Academy singled that out, because that really is he gives a much better performance in that film than he does in No Country for Old Men. It's a heartbreaking kind of role, and he brings again this 30 years of acting,
yeah,
film acting, and says so much with just a flicker of his eyes. You know, when he looks at I won't tell, but it's an amazing film.
So now, you said it was a bad year for the GLBT community, except that short documentary actually has a very personal way in which the GLBT community is kind of shown. Talk about Freeheld.
Well, Freeheld, I told Cynthia Wade, who is the maker of the film, who is up for the short documentary short, which is the first time I can't wait to see this category, because this is it's a 38-minute film about a lesbian couple, a policewoman who was dying of cancer and wanted to leave her benefits to her partner so she could hang on to their house. And these guys basically said, no, you can't do that because you're lesbians. And she documented this whole thing. It's an amazing film, really beautiful, and up for the Oscar.
Yeah. It's really, really fantastic, you know, that they will just start getting that kind of attention from being an Oscar-nominated film. And interesting.
Well, what's so beautiful is the two women, Laurel, and I talked with Cynthia, and the interview is going to be in Windy City Times, and we're going to actually have an audio version of it for the Queercast as well.
Great, awesome. Great.
And this was what, from the very beginning, what Laurel told her, this filmmaker, Cynthia, who is straight and, picked up on this story and said, this is just not right. Gay, straight, we all have to have the same rights. So there's a beautiful message to it. And it's coming out on DVD at some point. So.
Yeah. Well, that will be one to watch. Any other category that you're very excited about? I mean, do we think Michael Moore is going to take away documentary feature with Sicko? Was there anything that seemed to bring the left and the right more together than Michael Moore this year on that film?
I really hope so, and the timing is appropriate, you know, with all the election stuff happening. I'd like to see more emphasis put back in the film, because there was a lot of buzz on that, and then it kind of seemed to dissipate again. So, yeah, I'd love to see him get up and make a big angry speech and be cut off. That is if they have the ceremony.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So even though we're all trying to get caught up on these on these movies that we haven't been able to see, and I am as guilty as any of
they
really
all came
trying
out
to
so quick with
do.
Each other. They
just trying
just
to like
out.
Furiously, fast and furiously see these. Tell me what else might be new. Is there anything new coming out? And if there's not as much new coming out, what's coming to DVD that we may have missed? You've mentioned a lot of really great movies that you thought should have been Oscar nominated. You know, maybe some of those have just come out or are coming out.
Well, a lot of the Oscar nominated pictures are coming out. You're going to see very quickly, I'm going to say Before the Devil Knows Your Dead is coming. The Brave One, which didn't get a Jody nomination, is coming out this month. No Country for Old Men is coming. In the theaters, there is a film I want to mention that's coming at the end of the month. It's called Be Kind, Rewind, this Jack Black comedy. And Mos Def is the co-star in it. It's really charming, wonderful film about film and the power of movies.
Jack Black?
Yeah.
He said with a question, Jack Black? Really?
Come on, you saw School of Rock.
It's from the guy who made, I can't think of it. The one about the dreams, The Science of Sleep.
Before you sleep while you were sleeping.
I can't think of it. With the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Latino actor. Anyway, it's that same writer-director, and that's coming at the end of the month in the theaters, and I recommend that everybody run and see that. So that's a feature, and of course, I can't wait to see The Other Boleyn Girl with Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson and Eric Bana.
What is it? Yes. What is it?
Yes.
The Other Boleyn Girl.
The Other Boleyn Girl, based on the novel?
With Anne Boleyn and her sister, who both went to bed with King Henry. It's one of those historical drama things that I just love.
I just get off on those.
Anna Paquin and Scarlett Johansson.
Oh no, it's Natalie Portman, the other Anna Paquin.
That's what I call her, Natalie Portman. Okay.
Yeah. That's also coming at the end of the month. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so a couple DVDs, of course, for Valentine's Day. We've got a special edition of You've Got Mail. With the Meg Ryan, Jane Austen Book Club is coming out.
I read that and I didn't see the movie, so I'm curious.
I liked it. I liked it. It was a great chick flick. For classic films, Joan Crawford has another box set coming in February. Very excited about that. For you musical show tune queens, there's a 30th anniversary edition of The Wiz.
Ooh, yay, can you I'm feel so a brand new day? Peter's
I'm so,
so
getting get that.
That. Who's that out on?
Don't
Who's
nobody bring
that
me
out?
No bad news.
That comes out, I don't have the date. That's at the end of the month.
Right, okay.
That's at the end of the month. I'm sorry, that's on the 15th. I do have the date. That's the 15th.
Okay.
We're also going to get a 30th anniversary edition of Midnight Express, the Brad Davis film.
Oh, wow. On the other end of the spectrum.
Way on the other side.
Yeah. And I should also mention this amazing documentary For the Bible Tells Me So.
I cannot wait to see that. I want my own copy of that. Actually, I want about 10 copies of that. I'm going to send it to people. I've heard it is fantastic.
It is fantastic. That's coming February 22nd. Onto DVD. So,
That's really great. Can you tell people a little bit about what that's about?
It's a documentary, and basically tackles this issue of, the long divisiveness between gays and conservative Christians. And it focuses on four evangelical families who just happen to have gay children and how they come to terms with that.
Yep. They didn't call my parents. Mm-mm. They should have called my daddy. We could have been on that film.
One of the participants is Chrissy Gephardt.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really eye-opening, amazing, I can't say enough about it.
Can I tell you that my college roommate called me, and her fiance is an Episcopalian priest, and she called me and she said, oh my gosh, I just saw this film and I so thought of you, you have to see it, because she knows my story, and that's how I first heard about it, so... Mm. I'm very, very, very excited to see it. Well,
it's very powerful, and it's not real dry, because I know the subject matter, people go, oh, it's going to be so whatever, so hate-filled. It's not. It's a really, there's a lot of great positive stuff in it. So.
Well, look at that. From Joan Crawford to gays and Christians, it's just all the
gamut. To the whiz in a box.
To the whiz in a box. Hey, everybody, watch the Oscars. See if Richard's predictions are true, and also look up some of those movies that they just missed that Richard thinks you should know about. And Richard, how can people read your column every week and find out more about the movie queens?
Go right to WindyCityTimes.com or come to my website, KNIGHT, at the movies, not at the movies, for expanded editions and extra special stuff.
Plus, if you want a tasty little delicious bit, you can click around on that wonderful website and find out some good YouTube videos for your project called The Movie Queens. Don't forget.
Oh, yes. Movie Queens.
Movie Queens.
It's funny stuff. Mm-hmm. Richard Knight Jr., we will see you soon, and we always like seeing you at the movies.
Can I add one caveat?
Of course.
All my predictions are usually wrong.
Well, good. Then George Clooney's going to win. I've said it. There we go. It's done.
Yes, we're not going to. I'm not betting your picks. I'm going to bet what I know will win, and not what I want to win. I mean, come on. Don't we all? If it's a game where you have to bet because you want to get the most right, I bet what I know what's going to win, and then on the side I write what should win. I love those people who go, "What will win? What should win?"
That's me, totally, Amy.
Yeah. All right. Well, Richard, we'll see you at the movies.
Okay.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.